Our next speaker is Brother Lloyd Hagensick from St. Petersburg, and he has titled his thoughts, The Way. The Way. Brother Hagensick.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Well, it's needless for me to say that both Sister Elizabeth and I are very happy to be here with my friends. I know you're all my friends from the Brother Timmy Krupa's talk, so I certainly appreciate that very much. And also the opening remarks that the closer we get to Albion, the more anxious we get there, and I think that's the way we all felt. And I'm glad we're all here, and it'll soon be over, and we'll have to go just the other way again. Now, the way is something I think all of you know what I'm going to talk about, because I'm sure you're all in that way. Since the creation of the first pair in Eden and their fall and Satan's rebellion, there has been a choice of two ways for mankind to walk in. And the way has never been easy for fallen man, because God's ways are always upward, where Satan's way are downward. And it is much easier to be falling than to climb a rugged pathway. Or it's easier to go downstream than it is to go upstream. I'm sure that we can all sympathize with Noah in the building of the ark. For 120 years, he was jeered by his neighbors. Since that time, there had been no rain fallen on the earth. And here he was telling them that there was going to be a flood coming, so they just couldn't take it. Now, the example of the prophets of old in trying to walk in the right way are too numerous to mention. And I'm sure that you know many of them yourself, maybe all of them, because they all had experiences trying to walk in the right way. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 21, we read these words, "Thine ear shall hear a voice behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." These words that the prophet uttered were addressed to fleshly Israel. It foretells of the divine favor returned to them when their long season of rebuke and disfavor shall be at an end, and when they shall learn the way of the Lord, as well as the whole world of mankind, will then learn the way of the Lord too and serve him and obey him with one consent. This way, however, will begin after the great time of trouble is over and is fully realized at the end of the world's judgment day. We find many scriptures that have a double application, and this one is no exception. A great many people today feel that they are walking in the way that God has directed them in. They say it doesn't matter what church you go to, you'll all end up in the same place anyway. Well, that is true to a certain extent, but they will find out they will not be in heaven as they expect, but they'll return back to this earth under very favorable conditions, and they'll be happy. Some feel that they are favored of the Lord by being healed miraculously, either by faith healers or hypnosis. But we read or hear the voice behind us warning us in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 14th verse. I think this has been quoted several times already at this convention, but repetition is good. That Satan is transformed into an angel of light, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then in Matthew 12:26, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand?" The time will come when all these will learn of the great mistake they have made. However, then it will be too late to turn back to the true way, the way that the Lord has directed you and I to walk in. May each of us examine ourselves whether we are walking in that blessed way to the best of our ability. The voice referred to in the scriptures we have read is the voice of God speaking to us through His Word. Ordinarily, when we speak of a voice, we think of something we hear with our natural ears. In fact, God did speak to some of the prophets of old audibly. But the voice to us is heard only by those whose eyes of understanding have been opened and who have then hear God's voice through the hearing of the ears. By the begettal of the Holy Spirit, we are able to understand and hear God's word. Matthew 13:11 tells us, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Now the way is not an easy one. The nation of Israel had it all spelled out to them through Moses and the law. And they saw it was going to be so easy. They said, "All these things we will do." Yet we know they failed miserably, even falling after false gods. Now the rich young ruler in Jesus' day thought he was in the way from his youth up. Yet Jesus told him that he should sell all that he hath and give to the poor and follow him. But it was too much of a sacrifice, so he turned away. We often wonder if he didn't reconsider later on because Jesus saw in him a loving character. This voice is behind us in the sense that the scriptures are written in the past for our benefit. The histories of centuries is behind us. So as we listen to the voice that comes through the prophets, our Lord, and the apostles, yes, all these things happened unto them as ensamples unto us, and were written for our admonition upon those who at the end of the ages have come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now Peter tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, 21st verse and the 12th verse, that prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was not revealed to them of its meaning, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things even the angels desire to look into. Yes, blessed are your ears, my ears, for they hear. And as we hear or listen, we recognize that is the voice of the Lord pointing us to the way to life eternal. But we must be careful. We must be sure that we listen in the past and also at the present time, for we are assured that the voice of Satan is also ever present, to mislead all who do not prove all things with the thus saith the Lord. We are warned by Peter in 1 Peter 5:8, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now we find this true way back in the Garden of Eden. When God created man, Adam and Eve, he placed them in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Of course, the voice of Satan, what we find, was present too. Satan, as the serpent said to Mother Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." That was the first lie and the greatest lie that was ever told and is still believed today. But he said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, Then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. All voices that are endeavoring to direct the Lord's sheep are not the same. Some are the voice of the wicked. Some are the voice of wolves in sheep's clothing. The Word of God warns us against these deceptive voices. Whose voice are we heeding? It is well for all of us to be sure that the voice we hear and heed is the voice of the true shepherd. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." And that's the way we want to be. And the true sheep will recognize the voice of the Master, and in the end will be safely led into the fold. So it is well not to give too much time to investigate and delve into anything which seems to be the voice of God, but rather tends to deceive and mislead. Now we who have a definite and fixed basis for our belief have very little time to investigate new theories. As consecrated children of God, we already have learned where to seek wisdom and counsel. And our Heavenly Father is always ready and willing to come to our aid, if asked for. Let us read just a few encouraging and helpful promises that will help us in the way. The first one is Proverbs 3rd chapter, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And then we have the wonderful assuring words of our Lord, quoted in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we could go on and on and mention scriptures which tell of the things, if you will do those things, you will never fall. But the doing of transformation of the mind and will that is required of us in the way will lead us to eternal life. We are admonished not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We hear the voice behind us saying, "If thou would be my disciple, take up thy cross and follow me." I don't know if I mentioned it before here, but a couple of years ago when we went home from Albion, on the highway we saw a man going the opposite direction with a 7-foot cross over his shoulders with a little wheel on the back, marching down the road. He took this up literally, I imagine, but here that's all he had, was just that cross, carrying his cross, and that's what he thought Jesus meant. This is the new and living way that is opened by our Lord. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." This is the narrow way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And the narrow way implies that it is a very hard way to enter. And after entering, it is a very difficult way to travel. But this is the only way open at the present time which leads to life eternal. The The prophet Isaiah describes it as a voice behind thee. It is not a voice before thee with some new theory of evolution or the many new theories that are contrary to the Word of God. He calls us to take special notice that it is the teachings and the prophets of the Old Testament with their blessed hope through Christ, our Redeemer and Lord and our Teacher. It is the voice of our Lord and Master, uttered through the inspired apostles spoken many centuries ago. It is to this word of divine inspiration that the prophet Isaiah directs all those that desire wise counsel. In that word, we hear his voice saying to us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Now, Jesus listed many instructions to his disciples and to us, even down here at the end of the age. And most of them are recorded in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew's. But they can all be summed up in just a few words. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. How many in the world do that today? They always can find something wrong with their neighbors. But we should love our neighbors too, even though they would be our enemies. That's one of the greatest measures of love. Yes, this is very briefly stated, but it amounts to a lifetime work for a consecrated child to carry out. And I'm sure that each one of us can attest to that. We all have trials along that way. There is another way still open at this time, and of this way we are told that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now many of us wandered in this way also for many years before we found the true way, the narrow way. And now that we have found it, we can and do appreciate it more and more as the years go by. So let us be careful that we do not turn back to this broad way which leads to destruction. Paul tells us in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 2 to 5, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were sinners, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Because of God's great love and mercy toward us through Christ Jesus, all the precious promises belong to us. If we walk faithfully in the narrow way unto death, then we will receive the crown of life, the divine nature, which will never be offered again to any one of the human family. Now, in order to enter this narrow way, it means the burial of our will into the will of God. We saw 12 of them show that the other day when they were immersed at the baptismal service. From then on, they and we started to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 to 4 tells us, "Know ye not that as many as us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not as others walk with vanity in their minds, but as wise as children of the day, of the light. Redeeming the time, not by sight, but by faith. If we are in doubt and fear concerning which way to go, we should heed the word as it is written. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will direct thy steps. Or if we are heavy laden, we have the comforting words which we quoted before our Lord. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thus the voice from the past brings comfort, peace, and hope in the midst of life's cares. If we walk in obedience to the voice behind us, we will never miss the way to life eternal. Again we hear the voice saying to us in Luke 12:32, Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, it truly is a little flock compared to the billions of people that have been on earth. But only 144,000 will be successful in walking this narrow way to life, eternal, and gain the victory. That is the crown of life. We know that none are able to continue upon this narrow way, but those who are cultivating the character likeness of their pattern, Christ Jesus, which the apostle calls our attention to in 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11. Here he says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now no one can practice these gifts of God without becoming a marked man or woman in the world. I think we all have felt that when we work among the worldly people. They can soon see that there's something different about us, and they kind of hold their tongue once in a while, which is good, which is the way we should be. We should be living epistles read and known of all men. And I'm sure that we all have recognized that and felt that. Now, to cultivate and to put into practice the ways of God is against the natural tendencies of the flesh. Nevertheless, like all other things, we must cultivate these gifts, and in the end it will grow as one of the fixed habits and will be in use by us day by day. These good fixed habits of cultivation will remain with us even to the end of our days. But they do not come naturally. They have to be developed, and they have to be cultivated. With these to fortify us during our journey through life, we are assured that the way which the Lord has so graciously pointed out for us to follow will be His way, which is the only way, as all who live close to the Lord have discovered. At the present time, there are two leaders, Jesus Christ and Satan. Christ is the leader and guide of one way, which is the narrow way. And it is very noticeable that this way is not crowded. But all that are walking on in this way are confident where they are going and are assured that at the end there is life and happiness forevermore. Now, the vast majority of Christians claim to be following this way. But our Lord said, By their fruits ye shall know them. The other way, the broad way, is ruled over by the prince of darkness, Satan. He is the controlling spirit who guides and directs those who are in it. And we are sorry to say that this way is very crowded. Here they go, hurry onward, not knowing where they are going or what they will find at the end of life's journey. Now, the past few years, new cults have arisen, drawing the youth of this world unto them and brainwashing their minds against their neighbors, against their parents, their fellow men, and even the true God, calling themselves children of the devil. What a contrast we have between these two ways, the narrow way of life with all the assurances and precious promises of our great Redeemer, that those who will be faithful and loyal will receive the crown of life and the blessings that are associated with it. Those who are on the broad road have no hope. They have no precious promises. They think, many of them think, this is all the life there is to life, what they live now, and that's the end. But there is a wonderful hope in store for them in the future. Yes, they still grope along in the darkness and despair. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. So let us then give thanks to our God who has called us out of this darkness into his narrow way, into his marvelous light of the gospel of his dear Son. And remember the words written by David, the psalmist, in the 25th chapter and the 9th verse. The meek will he guide in justice, the meek will he teach his way. And again in Isaiah, the 45th chapter and the 17th verse, thus saith Jehovah thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Jehovah thy God, who teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Now the voice behind us tells us of another way soon to be opened up. And that will be for the remainder of those who have not found the narrow way during this present time. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this way in Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, verses 2-3. I think this also was quoted during the convention. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then we have that beautiful restitution chapter, Isaiah 35. And here we read of another way, which all the stumbling blocks will be taken out. And it's called, an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. In other words, they will be cleaned up by the time they get over that highway. That's the purpose of it. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No, they'll have all the necessary help at their hand. The ancient worthies will be here to help them, to direct their thoughts and works, that they will soon follow this new highway. And it says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. No, there will not be those giant corporations who are taking people and taking their homes and everything else away from them. So we find out that they'll all have their own provisions, and they will not need to be afraid of these big giants that are taking them in. And then it says, but the redeemed shall walk there. We know that our Lord paid the redemption price for every man. and it will be all testified in due time. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And then in Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verses 18, Isaiah 29, 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And then in Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Isn't this a wonderful hope that the world of mankind has, only they don't know anything about it? And how thankful we are that the Lord has opened our eyes, that there is salvation for all mankind. And it will not be accomplished at this age, but it will all be accomplished in the new age under the new covenant, when that will be inaugurated, and we will have a part in that to be mediators of that covenant. Therefore, we find that the church, our Lord, and the church completed are the main mediators of that covenant. And the covenant can't go into effect until the testator dies. And that is very true, and I feel that we all have part in that position today, that we're being made able ministers of the New Testament at the present time, so that we can deal with the world of mankind in the next age. That is why we have so many different experiences. Some have experiences along one line, some way another line. But they're all for our development, so we can be sympathetic high priests. And that is what we have to be in order to be worthy to have a part in helping the world of mankind. And I'm sure that we all want to take these lessons to us to heart, knowing that they are for our good. For the Lord knows what we have need of better than we do ourselves. Many times we feel there's something comes upon us and we wonder why the Lord permits that to come to us. Well, He does it for our good, not for our hurt, the scriptures tell us. And if we just take it the right way, we can soon see that the Lord has directed the issue for our development as new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we're thankful, dear brethren, that the Lord has in store for the world of mankind a highway which will be open to them in the very near future, we trust. But it still waits for us, because, like it's been mentioned at this convention, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And even we ourselves groan to wit the redemption of our body, that the whole church completed might be beyond the veil. And that is what we are all looking forward to. And we're happy for those who have already gone beyond, because we know that they have finished their course with joy and now see their master face to face. So may we be faithful in this narrow way which the Lord has called us into. And if we do, we will receive the crown of life, which is the divine nature, life within itself. And we will have the privilege of helping the world of mankind in the way which they have not known at the present time. And I think that's a wonderful promise for us to keep in mind. And we want to be ready when the Lord calls us and says, "It is enough, come up higher. Enter thou into the joys with thy Lord." And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Hagensick. And then Brother Hagensick will close this morning service with prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We do humbly bow in thy presence, thanking thee for this privilege we have had this past week to meet together with our brethren or hear more from thy word of truth. We do thank thee, dear Father, for all the admonitions given us during the past 6 days, which will help us in this narrow way. And that we pray that we might put them into practice in our daily lives. We know many times the flesh is willing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we fail to do so. But we do thank thee, dear Father, for the throne of grace, which is always open for us to come to thee for forgiveness. We do thank thee, dear Father, for this. And we're also mindful of those who are not here this convention, who had loved to have been here, but could not because reasons known unto thee. And we pray that thou grant a blessing unto them as thou seest they have need of. And now we pray thy blessing upon the further fellowship and noonday meal this today, that they might be in harmony with thy will and might be a blessing to each one of us. And that the temporal food which we will receive will help us to serve thee better in spirit. We do thank thee, dear Father, for all these provisions for us, and ask it all in Jesus, our Redeemer's name. Amen.